Hello, friends. I am so excited about our topic today. This has been one of the most life-transforming topics for me over the course of my entire life in ministry. Of all the things that the scripture has taught me, this is one of the most powerful. And I want you to hear what a gift God is offering to us today. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I want to talk about how the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us. Now, before we get started, a couple of things for us to consider. Cornell recently did a study in which they determined that the average human being makes 226.7 decisions per day on average just about food. Just about the food that we eat. I didn't look at the study, but I'm presuming it has to do with what kinds of food, how much food, all the different decisions. You know, have you ever walked into a pantry and said, "What do I want for a snack?" 226.7 on average decisions a day, just about food. And some studies have shown that on average human beings make as many as 35,000 decisions a day, just about everyday life. Doesn't that just make you tired? 35,000 decisions a day. Just thinking about that makes me want to go back to bed. It's kind of crazy. But in point of fact, some of those decisions are simple. And some of them are really, really hard. But when you think about it, from setting your alarm to how many times you hit the snooze to how many times you get up to when you get up to all the things that we decide over the course of a day, it is kind of amazing how many decisions we have to make. The simple ones, in my mind, are things like, do you want ice cream with your cake? Because I know the answer to that one. It's no. I've done that before, and my cake has gotten soggy. And some of you are going to say you're eating it wrong, and I'm fine with you ice cream with cake lovers, but my answer is no. And even more no when it's a hot apple pie. It just melts and makes it messy. Eat them separate if you want them. But that's me. That's a simple decision. There are way more complex decisions in life that we face. Things like, what am I going to do with my life? Who am I going to spend my life with? Decisions that are so complex that you wonder if you're even qualified to make them, and in many cases, we're not. And so the fact that God has offered to us the Holy Spirit to help us to make decisions in life is enormous. And I'm going to talk today about what the scripture says about it and how I've experienced that in very practical ways. So, let me look at a story in Scripture. And the context of the story is that Jesus has come to the river to be baptized. It's the very beginning of his ministry. This is recorded in Matthew chapter 3. He comes to John, he says, "I need you to baptize me." John says, "I'm not the one to do that." And Jesus says, "Yes, you are." And that's where we're going to pick up. Matthew chapter 3, beginning in verse 15. "But Jesus said, 'It should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires.' So John agreed to baptize him. After his baptism, Jesus came up out of the water. The heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and settling on him. And a voice from heaven said," now this is really important, "a voice from heaven said, 'This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy.'" What a moment. I just want you to put yourself in the crowd that day to hear a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son who brings me great joy." And imagine what it must be like to hear those words. Wouldn't it be a powerful moment if God sat down beside you and looked you in the face and said, "This is my beloved child. You are my beloved child who brings me great joy." And I just want to tell you, God has said that to you. God has actually said that. He says that we are his children, and we bring him great joy. Now, that's an important context for what's about to happen. The Spirit came out, settled on him, the declaration, "This is my Son who brings me great joy." Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now, we're not going to spend a lot of time on the latter part of that. What we're going to focus on is then the Holy Spirit, who just came to him, just fell upon him, after the voice led him into the wilderness, guided him And this began what in the Gospels is a series of decisions that the Holy Spirit, excuse me for a second, led Jesus to make. And if you look in the Gospel of Luke, you see this series of things that happens just after this. It says that he was then led into the temple to read a powerful scripture from Isaiah in which he declares, just reading from Isaiah, the words say, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me and has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for those who are oppressed, healing, and to declare the year of the Lord's favor." And then following that in the Gospel of Luke, the Spirit leads him to find someone with an unclean spirit and to drive it out and to heal many and then to call his disciples. And this begins the process in the Gospel of Luke that is so worded for us to understand that the Holy Spirit guided Jesus' life. The Holy Spirit was Jesus' coach, helped him to know where to go. And that's the principle we're looking at today, which is enormous for us who have to make all these decisions in life and so often don't feel qualified. As a matter of fact, we gather around in our lives different guides to help us, don't we? Most of us have a doctor because we only know so much medicine. You can only do so much searching on Google to diagnose yourself. And then you need to go to someone who can look at you and see what's going on with you and move your arm and check your leg and say, this is what's happening. Get to know you and understand who you are versus what some general website says about you. And that doctor tells you things. You may or may not like them. And you may or may not like the advice the doctor gives you. They may look at your cholesterol and say, you need to eat differently. And you may walk away saying, I'm not listening to them. But we have these people in our lives. We have insurance people to tell us about our car insurance and about our housing insurance. We have lawyers to help us with legal matters and our will, because unless you've been trained in law school, you can get lost on that stuff. We have fitness instructors. We gather all different kinds of, I have gone to mental health counselors to help me with issues in my relationships. I have gone to folks who have guided me, a spiritual director who asked me questions about my relationship with God. We gather these guides around us because there are so many questions and decisions that we have to answer in this life. 35,000 a day, that when someone can help us, it's a gift. Now imagine that God is offering the gift of a counselor, a guide, who will know you inside and out and who will help you make decisions in life. God's Spirit. And this is what's being offered to us. And this is part of the celebration of God's goodness to us. So what does that look like? We're not told about what it looked like in Jesus. We don't know if the Holy Spirit whispered to him or if the Holy Spirit grabbed his shirt and pulled it. We don't know what happened there. But I can tell you many stories about how I felt the Spirit lead me in my life. And I'm going to tell you one storyline that's got many different places that the Holy Spirit spoke. That's why I picked this one. Because it's got many different places in which the Holy Spirit acted to lead me ultimately to where God wanted me to be. So that you get a sense of how I see this and how I think the scripture sees this operating in our lives. So literally a little over 20 years ago, I was in my church office in my very first church. I'd been there about 6 years when a friend of mine called me. Now, things were going well in my church. I love my church. I love the people there. God was doing amazing things. We'd seen growth. People were growing in their spiritual faith. All evidence said I was moving in the right direction. And a friend of mine called me and said, "Hey, Andrew, I need to talk to you about something." I'm like, "All right." And he said, "Look, I am in the middle of a special program, a doctoral program, in leadership and in church vitality. that I think would be amazing for you. Now, he wasn't asked to do this. He wasn't told by the school to recruit people. He knew me. We were friends. He knew me, and he called me up. No one prompted him to do it, except maybe God. And he called me up and he said, you really need to consider this. And here's what I said. Are you ready? Thank you very much. God is doing some amazing things here. I love my life. I love everything that's happening. I am so glad that is such a good thing for you, but I am not interested. Have a good day. And in that moment, I made what I thought was the right decision at a critical juncture in my life and career. I was already working on another master's degree. I was in school. I was growing. I was learning. I was doing things I loved. I was excited. I was happy and content. And I said, I see no reason to do this. And I just, done. Made my decision. Move on. And the very next day, not coordinated in any way, the school that he was at sent me a postcard about that specific program. And it was not a big program. About that specific program. The next day in the mail. And when I got that postcard and looked at it, there were between 20 and 30 people in that program. They sent this all over the place. It was a mass mailed postcard. I said, are you trying to speak to me? And one of the first things that happens when the Holy Spirit guides you is the Holy Spirit tries to get your attention. Now, God's Spirit uses so many different things to do that. In this case, it was that the very next day, I received an unsolicited mailing from the school that was not coordinated with that person. And I said, this may be more than a coincidence. Now, I didn't say I'm going to go. I didn't pack up everything. I didn't apply that day. It began the process of me simply being open to saying, are you speaking to me? Are you trying to guide me? Because I've closed the door. That decision was done and I'm on to others. And are you asking me to open my heart and my mind up to hearing something different, to having a different decision, a different direction, a different outcome? And when I did that, when I paused, I began a process that allowed God to do some powerful things. The first thing that happened was I began to pray and I began to seek God about this. And the Holy Spirit, as a result, began to have me ask myself some important questions like, are you going to be in this church forever? Do you think that because God's doing something now that he doesn't have other things for you? Does one preclude the other? Do you think that God can't make a heart right here in your life? And these questions began to move me. Hard questions. Questions about who I thought I needed to be and where I thought I needed to grow. Did I think I need help as a leader? Yeah, I did actually. Did I think I needed to grow in what made a church vital? Yeah, actually. And so that series of questions began to move me to a place where I said, okay, let me call and ask about this program. And I began to investigate. The Holy Spirit led me to investigate. And when I looked at what had to happen to get into this thing, it was crazy. You first had to get into the doctoral program, and then you had to get into the general doctoral program, and then you had to get into this specific program. And I just said, look, God, the number of hoops you have to jump through, I'm never going to get in. And God said to me, does it hurt to try? And the next lesson that I learned, God makes you open to hear. God asks you great questions. And then God opens and closes opportunities. And I said, well, I guess you could use the process to tell me that this is where you want me to go or not. So I said, okay, I'll start. One of the first things I had to do after turning in all this raft of paperwork was to take the Miller analogy test. And I am horrible. I'm embarrassed to tell you what my SAT scores were. I am horrible at standardized tests. So I got the Miller analogy book out of the library and I studied it, and every pretest I took, I did miserably on. So I went in, I was like, I'll take the test, but I went in, I got my results a week later. I passed by 2 points. And the next thing I began to discover about the Holy Spirit's leading was that if God wants you to get there, He has the ability to help you in places where you are no good on your own. And as I went further and further into the process, God did more and more things. I needed a letter of recommendation from the bishop. The bishop had no idea who I was. I was one of 680 pastors at the time in our annual conference, and I'd only been there for 6 years. He had no idea who I was. That job of writing the recommendation ended up on the desk of someone who actually knew me and who had gotten to know me a little bit. They wrote a glowing recommendation the bishop simply signed. And that was part of the reason I got into the program. Over 150 people applied and 22 people were accepted. You can imagine how floored I was when I got a call that I was accepted into that program. That program transformed my ministry and who I was as a person. It took me literally around the world. I spent a year traveling churches all over the world. I spent a year learning about church vitality and leadership. The program itself cost $100,000 a student, and the school paid for it all. Now, the truth of the matter is that I could tell you a similar story about how I met my wife. She was not the first person I dated. She was not the only person I dated. And how I knew that God was leading me to marry her. And she could tell the same thing, the same kind of story. I could tell you the same thing about my children and how we ended up with the family that we have. Two of our children are adopted and one is a miracle. And it is an amazing story about how God led us to that. It's an amazing story about how God led me from each church that I had to the next. All of it. It is God's leading. It wasn't my wisdom or my decisions or how smart I was or how. There have been plenty of times I've made dumb decisions. But I believe, and I want you to understand, that God is offering His Holy Spirit to help us wade through the maze of the enormous number of decisions that we have to make by standing there beside us as a coach who knows us better than anyone, who loves us enough to say, "You are my dearly beloved child, and I have great joy in you. Would you let me help you?" There are plenty of times I've not listened. There have been times I've been shut down. There were times when the Holy Spirit came and said, "I'm ready to help you," and I wasn't ready to listen. There are times when God was clear about what was the right thing to do, and I did not do it. But He has offered, God has offered God's self to help us with this. And so I just want to close by asking you some questions. Are you willing to have God's Spirit as a coach in your life? Are you willing to allow God to ask you questions that open your heart to hear, to see, and to think differently? Are you open to allowing God to guide you through different opportunities and to open and close doors and to see it that way, to say, "Well, I guess if that door closed, that's not where I'm supposed to go," instead of getting frustrated and angry? And are you willing to believe that the God who led Jesus in the wilderness to be tempted will lead you into good things? Now, let me say a word about that before I close. For those of you who heard that story and heard he was led, his first thing was he was led by the Spirit in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. You might just say, "If that's the kind of thing God's Spirit is going to do, I'm not interested." But let me just say this to you. When you begin a venture in life, and you start by understanding who you are, your mission, your values, and your purpose, it is then a gift to know those things. And if you reread that story, Jesus is being challenged to understand who he is, what his mission is, what his purpose and what his values are. And to know that up front in life is enormously helpful. What a gift. And so I want to ask you today if you will trust a God who cares enough about you, not just to tell you fortune cookie sayings, but to really lead you and guide you into places that will allow you to become a more beautiful child of God, to lead you into a richer life, and to bless our world more fully. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for loving us. Thank you for your Spirit, which you've offered to us. We pray that you would enable us to sense your Spirit's leading, to receive that gift, and to allow you to lead us in life, to guide us, to coach us, to help us, that we may discover amazing things about you and allow you to help us to make decisions that on our own would be confounding, even impossible. How can a person know who's best to marry, that they will be a good partner 30 years from now? How do they know what career to go in that will be a blessing and fulfilling and provide for their needs? So many important decisions in life, God. Help us to trust you to lead us and guide us. We pray all this in the name of Christ, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.